Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Moth is a nonprofit arts organization specializing in the art of storytelling. The Moth brings its first live event to South Dakota this week, Thursday at 7:30 at the Orpheum Theater in Sioux Falls. The premise is simple: true stories told live. Like moths gathering around a flame, listeners gather around the light and truth of the storyteller. Today on In the Moment, we welcome Moth storyteller and host Dame Wilburn to the program. She joins us on the phone from California. Dame, welcome.
Hello. Good afternoon, I think.
First, it is afternoon here, and I have to start by telling you I love your stories. So it's such a pleasure to talk with you in person. You're coming to South Dakota for the first time.
Yes, I keep a map at home with all the states that I visited, and South Dakota, I get to color it in next week. I'm so excited.
Well, give us an idea. Now, the Moth has the Moth Radio Hour, which people hear on SDPB Radio on Sunday nights. They have the podcast. They have the live events. They have the story slams. There's international outreach and education events. What exactly can people in Sioux Falls, at the Orpheum Theater expect from this live event?
Well, what we're bringing is a main stage, and a main stage is a curated show. So those stories and storytellers are selected specifically for that theme for the night. And what you can expect is really a personal narrative storytelling that speaks to pretty much all of us. It's the storyteller's part of your life story is what you get a chance to hear.
Yeah. You know, for people who listen to the Moth Radio Hour or follow you online, they're all in already. So sometimes, we have to bring those other people in. Because I want you to tell me a little bit about the first time that you told a story and just the evolution that a story really has to go through in order to take the stage. What is that process like?
Well, I told a story at a story slam. So the slam works almost like a poetry slam where there's a theme for the night, you put your name in the hat, you get called up and you tell a story. The one that I told was about taking a trip to Paris, and that story basically caught the attention of Moth's executive director, Jennifer Hickson. And what happened was I ended up going to what's called a grand slam, which is a lot like all the storytellers that won that year competed, and my grand slam story ended up being the one that the Moth worked on. And they listened to everything. So they heard my story, and they started to work with me on it. And it's about bringing out a little bit deeper pieces, about making it a little longer, but also exploring, so what's the reason behind that action? And making it so that the story takes on a longer form, but is also a little bit broader in scope.
Yeah.
And it really is about working with your director to pull out those pieces.
How unnerving is that? Because you're telling a true story of something that really happened to you, and those are the parameters of it. You're not slipping into fiction. So what is the process with working with somebody else saying, I think we can make this better if you are they asking you questions that you've really never been asked before? How are they drawing out, areas of the story that maybe you haven't even considered?
It is about asking those questions and following threads that you didn't even know were there.
Yeah.
There's my story is about how I met my partner. And there were pieces of that story that I hadn't even considered. Mm. And it wasn't big pieces like, well, why did you go to this event where you saw her? But it was questions like, well, where were you in your life when this happened? Not just what's going on with this big piece of story, but really what was going on with you. They wanted to know what was happening to me. Where was I personally? Where was I emotionally? What was happening around me? And that put me back in the place where all these events happened. And that way, when I got ready to tell the story, I was literally sort of back in that spot. Yeah. I ended up back at that place. And then I can take the audience with me to that place as well.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so compelling, because it seems like it would just be someone on stage talking. But really, the power of storytelling is that you transport the audience back with you. And I always tell the storytellers, it's not as if the audience is in front of you. They're really standing next to you.
Yeah.
Seeing what you're seeing if you do it well.
Yeah. And this story that you tell, I think it's called The Curse, and this is such a monumental, like nothing in your life is after. And I don't want to reveal too much of this story, but you're a nice Baptist girl, and you're trying to figure out how to become a witch. And there's a good reason, for this, and it makes perfect sense as you tell it, and it's heartbreaking and tender and hilarious, all this at the same time. What did you, when you were done and kind of had the final package, and I'm sure it changes, a little bit, each night or what have you, but did you look at that time in your life in an entirely different way after going through the process of learning how to most effectively tell that story?
Well, it changed a lot about how I looked at my past and being with the person I'm with and who I am as a person, but it also changed my present in an odd way, because people that I don't know something very intimate about my life.
Yeah.
So I have a sort of distinctive voice. So if I go somewhere and talk and someone has heard me on air, they'll say, "Oh, I know you." And then they'll begin to ask me questions about my life that a stranger would never know.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's been an odd adjustment.
Like at the grocery store, like someone in line with you might say, "Oh yeah, I know a little bit about you."
Yes, that actually happened to me in a grocery store in Detroit, and I was standing in line, and someone in front of me dropped something, and I handed it to them and said, "You dropped this," and the cashier says, "I know you," and then starts to list off like my life. While I'm trying to buy falsa, it was really sort of off-putting for a minute.
Yeah, who's all come? Are there people then, from all over the country coming to Sioux Falls? Are there people from the South Dakota area who are going to tell stories? Do you know who's on the lineup?
I don't know who's on the lineup, but I know that in the past when we've done these shows, especially coming someplace new, we will bring certain storytellers with us, and then we usually find someone in the area and bring them as well. So there's usually someone local on the show, but I don't know the actual lineup.
Yeah, and with The Moth, you really kind of don't need to know to buy a ticket. You just go because it's going to be that good.
Yes.
Can all of us learn to tell our stories that we would just maybe tell our family around the dinner table more effectively in order to, connect with one another? Do you believe that? Or do you believe it's really, something that you need to, when you take the craft seriously, you can elevate it to such a high level. But is there also, a benefit to just, everyday family and friends storytelling?
Absolutely. I believe that that's really where our humanity lies. It's what we've always done, is sit around a campfire and tell stories to each other about our history, about our family, about the land where we live. Those things are vital to who we are, and technology just cannot replace what it means to sit in a room full of people, whether it's 50 people or even 2,000, and listen to someone tell a story. It is fascinating to be in a room where one person is talking and you can hear a pin drop in the spaces.
Yeah.
Because the audience is leaning in and they're with them. And the thing about a moth audience, and this is true everywhere I've been, is that moth audiences want to hear your story. The people who work for the moth want to hear your story. And I think that's indicative of all of us. We as people want to hear these stories, and your family does as well. You just have to know when you've turned that corner and started losing them.
Okay, yeah. So there have to be stakes to the story. I mean, that's the whole concept of really identifying the stakes, right?
Yes, and those stakes are always universal. They're the same stakes. I mean, my story is basically a boy meets girl story.
Yeah.
Basically. It's different because of who I am. It's different because of how this happens. And you said you didn't want to give away too much of the story, and I don't either. But that idea of boy meets girl is right at the center of that story. And all of us have one of those stories.
Yeah.
And that's the stakes. It's like, what is it that you gain? What could you possibly lose? What are the stakes of what happened to you? And then how do those stakes resonate with other people in the room? And then how is that unique to you?
Right. And I'm rooting for you in that story, you know, so much. Even when you're trying to figure out how to, you know, how to study Wicca, it's like I want you to have that knowledge, and which is outside of something I would normally root for. So I make that connection with you so early that I want you to achieve, you know, I want you to find love, and the courage in your story. That's the other thing too. It changes the listener, doesn't it? Because at some point you say, I'm a different person because I have heard your story. I'm braver because I have heard your story.
I absolutely appreciate that. And I think that I will not say that that was my intention, but I'm glad that I've gotten some responses like that as well about, you know, these are things that we as a society have a tendency to shy away from talking about because it seems uncomfortable and it seems sort of otherworldly. And we've developed this idea that because I don't look like you and I don't live where you live, that we're not similar. But we are similar in the fact that there are a lot of things about me that are different than they are for a lot of folks. And we still have this story.
Yeah.
We still have these same stakes. We still have this same common humanity. And that, to me, is the absolute crux of what is important and valuable and necessary about The Moth and shows like The Moth and giving people an opportunity to speak their truth, because truth is a universal stake regardless of who you are.
I'm just going to pump my fist in the air when you say that. That's it right there. Yeah, by the beginning of the story, I'm rooting for you. By the end of the story, I'm rooting for all of us. And that's the universality. So, come to this event. Are you hosting? Are you telling a story? Are we going to hear the curse? What are you bringing to the table?
So I'm a host, which means it's my job. I always refer to myself as being the cruise director for the evening. So, but in that capacity, you know, my goal is to sort of keep the audience, to sort of help everybody get through the stories in the night and stay together. You know, we don't want to lose anybody. And then I get a chance to do a little bit of talking and a little bit of sharing in some of the in-between spaces. So, but I don't, the curse, we have a tendency to retire to a certain extent a story when it's been on the podcast or it's been on the radio hour. So that story you can hear online, but I wouldn't do it again live.
Dame, I'm going to put a link up to that story online so people can find it, because that's where I found it. And thank you so much. The Moth comes to the Sioux Falls Orpheum this Thursday at 7:30. Dame Wilburn, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.